Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Now, as we discussed earlier, a remote meeting with special needs groups and Education Minister Norma Foley and Junior Minister Josepha Madigan regarding delayed school opening happened today. As I am, Down Syndrome Ireland, Inclusion Ireland and Family Carers Ireland were all involved with the meeting, with calls heard to restart physical learning for children with special educational needs as soon as possible. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Josepha Madigan, who is the Minister for Special Educational Needs, and thank you very much for joining us this evening, Minister. As I say, you met with those groups today. Over 30,000 young people, I believe, are affected by this decision. What commitments were made at the meeting today?
Yeah, so today myself and Minister Foley met with, as I am, Down Syndrome, Inclusion Ireland and Family Carers Ireland. And in fact, I had met them last Thursday morning also. And that was when we were under the assumption that schools were going to open today, that's as in special schools and special classes. And obviously then I found out on Thursday evening that wasn't going to happen. So today, I think it was an opportunity for Minister Foley, as well as myself again, to hear from these groups and really, I think that they're all adidim about the fact that, you know, in-person school-based education is really the best way to give students with SEN support and structure. And that's something that I absolutely echo, and we're totally committed to getting back to that. I mean, it was a really valuable opportunity to hear their insights and the challenges faced by them and by their children. I mean, it really, really difficult. I don't think we can underestimate that there's a real risk of regression for these children, and there's a loss of key skills and structure. And, you know, we may all have children, including myself, at home at the moment who are learning online remotely, but it just really does not work properly for children with SEN. And, you know, you're right, there's about 18,000 children in special schools and classes, and then there's about another 13,000 SEN children in mainstream school. And look, I just want to find a resolution by the 1st of February, and I'm really calling on all the unions together with the department. There's obviously dedicated industrial relations structures there to work out something, you know, that's favourable to everybody, because, you know, the public health advice is very strong in relation to this, and the fact that schools are safe environments. I mean, Dr. Abigail Collins has a background in paediatrics and has said that, a risk assessment has been done in relation to special schools.
Okay, so in that case, why are you aiming for the 1st of February for special educational needs? Why not be more ambitious, given the urgency, as you've outlined, and others, of the situation?
Well, I'm saying that that's, to me, the absolute outside date. I mean, ideally, if we can start next Monday and resolution can be found this week. They are, as you correctly point out, a minority amount, really. And, you know, there have been 49 inspections of special schools by ENFIT. And, you know, it's been found that they are safe. All the supports are there, as far as I'm concerned. And we really want to get this back. I mean, I do understand the context of the nervousness that you know, teachers and indeed SNAs may have coming back into the environment. And I suppose our role is to reassure them as much as we possibly can that it is safe for these children to come back into the school environment, but it's just not going to work remotely.
Yeah, indeed. We got a text from a listener a little earlier saying, "Hello, I'm a husband of a teacher in a special needs school. We have four kids at home. We're all safe at the moment at home. I hope to God they don't open up this special needs schools," says that texter, because he and his family feel safe at home, and they haven't been convinced by your government that they will be equally safe in the school environment. So what can you do at this point to convince them, or is that the main sticking point at this stage?
Yeah, there will always be some people, and that's within their rights to not feel safe, no matter what reassurance you try to give. But in the majority, from the majority perspective, certainly the people and the innumerable amount of calls and emails that I dealt with today, including a lady, Angelina Hines, who's in Rosedale School in Galway, who has a child herself with special needs, and indeed knows many parents with children who are suffering. We need to get these special special schools open, and we need to get the special classes
we know
open
that.
Because
we know that,
it's
Minister,
also for respite for their parents.
Yes,
as well.
I don't think anyone on any side of all of this is arguing about the need for this and the urgency for it to happen quickly. My question is, what is the delay at this point, or what is the main sticking point?
Well,
is it concerns over the safety of people going into a school environment, or are there other issues that need to be resolved?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm not going to speak on behalf of the unions themselves, and obviously there's sensitivities around ongoing discussions at the moment. But, you know, clearly there are some reassurances that need to be given. But I have to say there is a willingness on their part to engage urgently with us, and they are. And there has been ongoing engagement, and that's now intensified over the last week, and it'll continue intensively for the rest of the week. So I just want to call on all parties to come to an agreement as quickly as possible in the interests of all these children with special education needs and their families. There's no reason why we can't find a resolution. I mean, it's consistent with government policy and public health advice, and they are essential workers at the end of the day, and I'm just concerned.
I suppose that was the question, wasn't it, in relation to it being consistent with public health advice, and this was well hashed out last week about whether or not it was consistent with public health advice, because we saw the letter from the CMO to the Minister for Health, and it didn't specifically mention whether any number of children in school would be acceptable, or at what point and a certain amount of travel, for example, or a number of people moving would be acceptable. Has the government moved to clarify that with the CMO?
Well, the CMO has reiterated the fact that schools are safe. And I have consistently said that, and I will consistently advocate that, because we know that from international evidence. And Dr. Kevin Kelleher and Dr. Abigail Collins have communicated that to our education partners. And I know we are taking continuous engagement and soundings from them. And the government, as you say, has made that decision. So, look, Senator George Mitchell said conflicts are created, conducted and sustained by human beings, and they can be ended by human beings. And there's a really human side to this that's very real. I mean, the amount of panic that I'm hearing from parents at home with these children, they love their children, but it's very, very difficult to provide that medical assistance, that very specialised assistance that they need. We've all heard them speak on the airwaves over the last number of days. I was hugely disappointed myself that they didn't open here today, and I really just want to see a resolution as soon as possible. And you can rest assured that no stone will be
overturned. Just for the clarity of our listeners, who are those doctors, and what is their role?
Yeah, so Dr. Abigail Collins and Dr. Kevin Kelleher, they are on NFIT, so they have effectively given advices and said that they have undertaken risk assessment in relation to special schools. And there have been 49 inspections by NFIT of these special schools, and they still consistently say that they are safe environments. So we have to find a way
to get this message out there for people then. Who might be sitting at home thinking, well, those inspections, for example, would have taken place before Christmas when the schools were open, when we were in a very different environment as regards the disease. Can you explain in what way we can take, or particularly the parents and the teachers involved in this who might be thinking about going back to school and want to bring their kids back to school, how can they take comfort from these inspections which were done before Christmas, and how can they take comfort from schools being safe places when all of this seems to be based on, you know, a different environment?
Well, that advice was only given on Thursday.
But the inspections, for example, 49 inspections, I'm assuming were done before Christmas.
I'm not aware of that. Obviously, I wasn't at that meeting.
Well, but they couldn't have been done after Christmas, could they? Because the schools weren't
open. But I can't imagine why Dr. Abigail Collins nor Dr. Kevin Keller would give advice that differs from that on Thursday. So it still stands. And the reality is that we have PPE, sanitisation, to me and to my mind, although I understand the concerns from the unions, obviously I still believe that the right thing to do is to open up these special schools and classes. They're open in Northern Ireland and they're open in the UK as well. And it affects the entire family when a child with special needs is at home.
We have a text here from a listener asking what measures the Minister, either yourself or Minister Foley, has proposed for pupil and staff health and safety. And this person is asking specifically, or making the point specifically, that special needs schools have no social distancing, no ventilation. Now, I don't know if that's the case in every school, but perhaps in this listener's experience it is. Extreme close contact with pupils who, through no fault of their own, cannot wear a mask and follow personal hygiene guidelines. Are risk assessments being done, and what is being done to mitigate those risks that I've outlined in that text?
Yeah, so first of all, child-to-child transmission remains very low, and also child-to-adult transmission, so we know that. There's also medical-grade PPE, which is provided in the normal course of events anyway for intimate needs, for children with special needs, but that's provided. And I haven't gleaned from any of our education partners that that is an issue, so they're freely available. So, I mean, I think there's a sense from the community, the SEN community, and from some of the groups that I spoke to, that they feel quite upset about the fact that their children are being targeted to a certain degree because they can't wear face masks when some of those children, particularly children with autism, just aren't in a position to wear them. But that doesn't mean that they're not, you know, safe, or the teachers won't be safe, and the SNAs, of course, as well. I mean, half a billion has been spent on making schools safe.
Solutions, which I believe were mentioned at that meeting today, something similar to what was run in July. We heard from Inclusion Ireland earlier saying that they don't see any reason why that couldn't be done from next week.
Yeah, we're not ruling anything in or out at the moment, and we're absolutely determined to support SEN students at this time. But we have to restate the position, and I have to restate the position, that the best way of learning is in person, in school, and we want to get back to that. And the July provision worked very well this year, particularly in circumstances where the schools were closed for a period of time, and it was a way of getting children back into the school environment before they went to school in September. So we will work on any solutions, and indeed are completely open to suggestions by our education partners, so that we can move this forward. But it really has to be done as a matter of urgency, because every day for these children, these families, is like a year for them. It's so difficult.
So when is the next meeting set up to try and resolve this?
So there have been bilateral meetings with the unions all day today, and there's continued intensive engagement, and that'll be happening all week. So it's an ongoing. I had many meetings myself today, and they're going to continue into this evening and tomorrow. So no stone will be left unturned, I can absolutely assure you of that.
Can I just ask you, Minister, before I let you go, on the wider issue of COVID-19, you may have seen the reports that Ireland now has the highest rate of COVID-19 infection in the world over the past 7 days. And I know everyone is doing their best in terms of trying to tackle this disease. But I do also think people want to see honesty and accountability from our politicians in relation to it. And we still have not heard one senior government figure come out with their hands up and say, we got it wrong in relation to how we handled the restrictions or lack thereof before Christmas. Do you think it's time that somebody said that?
Well, you know, I'm not a cabinet anyway, but I still, aside from that, I think it's, you know, not you now necessarily, but I do think it's overly simplistic to focus on one area and blame that for the spread of the virus, and in particular the new variant, which has been a huge challenge. I mean, there is a seasonal issue to this as well, you know, with the cold weather. Mm-hmm. We know that viruses, transmit easier. And most people are maintaining restrictions, but some are not. And it's very difficult, I have to say, and again, I'm not a cabinet, but even for cabinet to make decisions, you know, when you think about the fact that ENFIT had recommended in December that hospitality should remain closed, but house visits allowed, and government actually decided to delay house visits and open hospitality as a compromise. So, but it's very difficult, I think, you know, to sort of control individual responsibility. And I think there's probably many people listening to this.
All right. So it's people's fault, not the government's.
No, I'm not. No, I'm certainly not saying that. But I think the cabinet takes everything into account. Obviously, it takes ENFIT's advice, but it also has to look at other factors as well.
Minister Josepha Madigan, thank you very much for joining us this evening.